All right, guys. So like I said, this is going out as a podcast, but one important thing, and I stress this in the email, okay, is I want you guys this to be like a conversation, not necessarily me telling you. I do enough of that in class, right, telling you what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat, okay? Definitely want to have your feedback. If you disagree with something, I'll tell you why I'm right and you're wrong. just like I do in class. But no, seriously, if you have questions about anything, please ask. That is the whole point, right? If you don't understand something, that is what we want you to do. A lot of the stuff today, you may know a lot of it, you may not, you may know some of it, you may not know some other parts, right? But again, we want this to be a monthly thing where we're building information over time, not like a one-time thing. We're going to tell you every single thing that we know, and you guys should then go ahead and know it, okay? If you are listening to the podcast, we also have a handout which we can get for you if you want it. The first page is the importance of good nutrition. You guys can read through that. Check it out. It talks about what proteins, carbohydrates, and fats are, what they kind of do for the body, what the CrossFit prescription is, which is going to be one of the main topics we talk about today. And then the last little page of that is it worth it? I'm talking about a little chronic disease, okay? That's all the fun stuff. Second page of the handout, which again we're going to talk about, but 16 ways to tell if you are a sugar or carb addict. Those are questions that you can ask yourselves. I had to ask myself and answer yes for most of those. So be honest with yourself. It is perfectly okay. And like I said, we're going to talk about that. And then on the back is a little shopping list, okay? Gives you some good options, maybe some stuff that you might not have thought of. And then it gives you the per 7 grams, per 9 grams, per 1.5 grams protein, carbs, and fats. That's just a general serving, one serving size. Again, don't worry too much about that. And we'll talk about what we're looking for today.
Reagan's excited.
So I guess the first thing to address is that most of us, or I'll say most of us, have been there in the past where we've tried that regular food plate, government food plate, that high-carb diet, right, with lack of exercise, right? And hopefully, because we're all sat here today, we realize that that does not work. That is a crappy way. That is a shortcut to death, essentially, right? Another thing that does not work are those fad diets, right? And I have heard my fair share of them. I'm sure you guys have maybe tried some. I think we've all tried some, right? I think the craziest one that I heard was the saltine cracker and hot dog diet, which legitimately heard of that diet. Yeah. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're all going to go out afterwards. We're going to buy some saltine crackers and some hot dogs. You know, the big thing about fad diets are that they are exactly what they sound like. They can be good for the time that you're on them. When you come off them, guess what? You're getting all that weight back, you know. I was saying to someone the other day, we could make most people lose a solid 20, 30 pounds in 2 or 3 days, right? But essentially, you're losing water weight, and then you're going to gain it right back right afterwards, right? It's like those wrestlers that lose a whole bunch of weight, and then we're getting it right back as soon as the competition's over. What we are looking for with CrossFit prescription is a long-term nutrition plan, right? It's a lifestyle choice. It is a long-term plan, okay? And then, like I said, about the addiction to sugar and carbs, we all have a relationship with food, right? Some of that is good. Some of it is bad. We use food for a lot of different things, right? We use it for comfort food. We use it to socialize with other people. We use it for celebrations, like birthday parties, when we have to have the cake. We use it when we go to the movies. We've just been out for a huge meal. We're stuffed to the brim, and then we have to buy the Pepsi and the popcorn, right? It's a social aspect of food, right? So getting into clean eating, right? And hopefully this is not new to you, but the CrossFit prescription of eating meat, vegetables, nuts and seeds, some fruit, a little starch, no sugar, Okay, keeping intakes to quantities that promote exercise and not body fat. Okay, as simple as that. Okay, if you follow that prescription, you will generally stay away from those chronic diseases that we outline in here: type 2 diabetes, obesity, you know, cancers, certain cancers. You will definitely be in a good place eating those. Okay. Essentially, what the and Kim told me last week that apparently I say essentially a lot. So every time I say it, if I have a little pause, it's because I realized I said it now, and Kim's totally messed me up. Yeah.
In class.
Thanks, Kim. So it is a low carbohydrate diet. That is what we're looking for. It is a 40-30-30. 40% carbohydrates, 30% protein, 30% fat. That is the ideal, what we're looking for within a CrossFit prescription.
And that means of your daily caloric intake. So right. Carbohydrates are higher in calories than your other food is. So 40% of your caloric intake is carbohydrates. That's still a low-carb diet. Does that make sense because of how high the calorie content is? Sorry.
You good? Anyone have any questions about that? Anything to say? Again, I'm trying not to preach and keep it open.
Has anyone experimented with a different quantity? Yeah, we upped the fat and dropped the carbs some, yeah. And that's, we definitely would want to go that direction. 40-30-30 is the maximum we would want our carbohydrates to be at. Dropping them down and upping our fat is kind of flowing into that, the keto that's been popular lately. So going somewhere in that range is going to work for a lot of people.
Yeah, I wonder, this the 40-30-30 is kind of like a good place to, for people who are used to eating carbs, is to try to, you know, it's not too hard to get down to 40-30-30, or is that like the actual ideal, or does it come from?
You talking about, is it
kind of like an introductory kind of method?
Try this for 30 days.
Yeah.
If all you ever eat is 100% carbs, you're in trouble.
Or is it like, this is kind of like, if it's good for you, this is, you stick with it.
Yeah.
That's generally the prescription. Like Kim was saying, everyone's going to be slightly different based on body type. So you could mess with that. But generally, if you stay around 40-30-30, you'll be in a good place, right? The problem we have with carbohydrates is that addictive property of those things. So it's not necessarily the fact that your body needs it, it's that your body is craving it or your brain is craving it, right? That's the difficult part about coming off the carbs.
It's not like the end result, like let's work our way to it and get there. Like I think pretty much everyone can switch to that 40-30-30. They may struggle in the beginning because of how they've been eating, but if they just make those choices. And I mean, weighing and measuring our food is the only way to know we're hitting 40-30-30. So I think anyone, even if they have the worst out possible, going straight to 40-30-30 is doable.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Cool. With that, the goal is to eat as clean variation of those foods as possible. Okay, and I think we talked about it a little bit this morning, even with some people. You're talking about meats that are grass-fed, pasture-raised, are going to be way better. Okay, we won't get into omega-6s and omega-3s, but basically, I nearly said essentially. basically is my new word, okay? When I start saying basically too much, fundamentally, I got to get a thesaurus. I'm going to get a thesaurus. Learn some new words. The better, the more natural habitat that your meat has been raised in, the better it is going to be for you, right? If you are eating chickens that have been stuck in a coop and not being able to move, you know, cows that are in sheds and not allowed out free range, or, you know, chickens pasture raised, you get into a lot of issues with food quality, and it's not necessarily horrible for you, but there are better options, right? With that, you know, everyone has a budget. If your budget doesn't quite allow for that, you can make better or worse choices, okay? And I think I say this in our nutrition plan booklet, You know, if you're trying to choose between Taco Bell meat or just regular ground meat from Kroger, you are much better going to Kroger and getting the regular, you know, non-grass-fed meat than going to Taco Bell, right? I would hope we would all agree on that. Fresh local vegetables, right? The cool thing about Knoxville is that we have a lot of farmers markets, right? It's pretty awesome most times of the year. Danny and Patty are connoisseurs of the farmers market, so I'm sure they can let you know.
Have you been to the winter one?
Yeah, actually. And so, like, I always thought the winter one would be, you know, just kind of useless.
Like, crap.
They don't have any vegetables or fruit. Yeah, but actually, when we went last time, tons of vendors selling what you just said, Joe, grass-fed and local meat and eggs and all kinds of cool variety of meats, too. Like, if you really even get interested in, like, guts and heart and livers.
Yeah.
Which, but they also had like winter vegetables, like sweet potatoes, a lot of greens, because winter is a lot of greens, kales and lettuce, garlic. We got apples.
Where is it?
It's in a church. North Knoxville somewhere.
The Fourth and Gill area.
Yeah.
You know Fourth and Gill?
Yeah.
Near downtown.
Okay.
So I would do that every other week, but then there's one in Oak Ridge at an elementary school like every weekend.
Yeah, we haven't been to that one yet.
And they have like a Three Rivers Co-op.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
I was surprised. Pleasant.
Danny actually found out he likes lamb this last couple of days, so he is now a convert.
I didn't think it was good, and then you got good lamb.
That's what it was put on this earth for. I said that earlier. Put on this earth
but
to be eaten.
That's a good point. Like knowing where your meat comes from. Like if you are buying, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but if you're buying like the big brand, Tyson chicken or Purdue or whatever, like those are huge factors that just care about money, and their animals probably don't come from the best sources. But if you know where the lamb came from and it was humanely slaughtered for meat consumption, then you may feel better about yourself eating something like that than the animals that aren't treated. I'm an animal person, so it does, I think you should care about that.
There's a documentary on Netflix called Rotten.
Mm-hmm.
And it, they have like different, they're talking, one of them is milk and one of them is chickens, and it talks about how they're, like, the big companies are raising their chickens, and you will not eat that once you see it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. Is anyone here a vegetarian?
Oh, that's a good question.
Good. anyway, sorry, I'm just kidding.
You see, like, why would you buy a grass-fed and then, like Kroger brand is not grass-fed?
Yeah.
Just like why it tastes like it's such a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Very much so.
Yeah. Yeah, you will definitely notice a difference in taste as well, yeah, in those foods. Better?
Yeah, for the better.
Oh, yeah, definitely for the better. Fresher. You know, and like we just said, fresh local vegetables, and the greener the better, right? The greener the vegetable. Generally, we're getting to vitamins and minerals here, but, you know, your kales, your spinaches, your stuff like that. A little less sugar content, a little more value on that nutrient-dense side. When we're talking about nuts and seeds, we're talking about raw, unsalted, unprocessed, right? I was talking to someone the other day, and they were telling me about somebody that they know who chows down on trail mix, right? And I love some trail mix, right? But the ones with the M&Ms in and the ones with the sugar-coated cranberries in, and they'll chow down. Yeah, yeah. What's wrong with that? Yeah.
It wasn't me, but I'm just saying.
It wasn't anyone here. It was someone outside of here. But, yeah, those are the tasty ones, right? But you've got to be really careful about how many nuts and seeds you eat. If you look at what an actual serving size that we want is, it's probably only about 6 to 8 almonds, right? Or, you know, same walnuts or whatever it is.
You just worry about calories. Like you're ingesting a bunch of calories if you eat a whole bunch of nuts.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you just,
which will be your macros.
Yeah, yeah,
so
and if
calories
you
calories we don't care about.
Too much
fat. Fat. Yeah, you're talking about a lot of fat content, and then you're also talking about some other things that delves a little deeper into that. Fruit wise, just be cautious of. I say this because of sugar content. Okay, fruit provides a lot of good things. But if, especially if you read those questions and you're like, oh my God, I'm a sugar and carb addict, you try and pull yourself off refined sugar and you find yourself eating 7 bananas a day, you're eating those sugars, you're eating those bananas because of the sugar content, right? You're not eating them because you crave them. It's a fix, right? Your berries are going to be the lower side. Berries and apples are going to be the lower side of that sugar consumption. Bananas.
We've got an epidemic. If anyone needs cough drops.
You're good.
This is what working out does to my life.
Bananas been on that high side, like I said, of the sugar content. But, you know, better carbohydrates than that refined sugar, right? We talk about little amounts of starches. If you're going to eat things like potatoes, try and go sweet potato option. If not, just limit the consumption. But they are way better than those pastas and those breads, right? Those pastas and breads, they're the foods that leave you really, really, really full for like 30 minutes, and then you're ready to chow down on some more, right?
What's your thought like things like red lentil pasta?
Yeah, you get into those, and there's
check like the glycemic index on a lot of your carbs.
I know like Kroger has something with like low GI, only made with like just like flour from red lentils.
Yeah, so the, when you're talking about grains and lentils and things, it's going to be the less processed, the better, right? The more that stuff has been processed, the more it's going to affect you. The higher on that glycemic index.
Truly, any grain product, ideally, is a stay away from. But then you have options that are lesser processed than others. I was going to add something to that. I don't remember. What'd you just say? Oh, yeah. What we try to do is if we go out to dinner and they come around and they're like, you guys want some bread? We're like, no. No chips, no bread. I mean, we don't always do that. No one's perfect. But it's an easy way if you're out to eat and you know you don't want to eat bread, then don't even let them bring it to the table.
That is a good point. Sugar, the good old sugar conversation. Trying for no refined sugar, right? Again, you're going to get sugar in a lot of different things, a lot of different ways. Trying to cut out that refined sugar, whatever that may be, whatever you kind of crave, right? That is big. You will see, I think, a huge difference in kind of that bloated, puffy, swelling feeling if you can just cut out processed sugars, okay? And they are in everything, right? You buy tomato sauce, check it. I guarantee a lot of them will have that added sugar. A lot of times they use it as a kind of a preservative, right? Sugar kind of preserves that food for a little longer. And so they'll put it in and they'll say all natural preservatives, and you'll be like, yeah, it's all natural, look how cool that is. But sugar list makes it taste way better, right? That's why they add it. That's why it's there.
I found out something recently about the labels, ingredients labels.
Mm-hmm.
Is that they're required to put the order of ingredients matters. It's required that the most of whatever that is first, second most is second. I don't do that. I thought they could just put whatever they want. So if you see sugar like up there in the first or second ingredient, that means it's like mostly
the majority,
sugar.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little about food labels. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get there. But yeah, that is some interesting stuff. And like I said,
Do you know how sometimes you'll see like health companies will do like stevia, like a substitute like erythritol. Sometimes you'll see like other products. Like, what do you guys think about that?
That's actually next that we're going to talk about. I like that. And it's actually a really good segue. The last thing I was going to say was, right, food is minimal. Essentially, food is essentially done essentially as minimally as possible, right? Minimally processed, okay? That is it. If it again, we'll get into this a little bit later. If it is the ingredient, you want food to be the ingredient, not have ingredients, right? That is the goal, okay? Into sugars. If you guys want to flick to that second page or third page, if you haven't read it already, the 16 ways to tell if you are a sugar addict, right? You can read through those. I think Karen Thompson, she wrote the book where I got this from, Sugar Free. I love that quote at the top, right? One is too many, a thousand is never enough. That is so true, right? You open up a bag of Sour Patch and you're like, I'll just have a couple. And then all of a sudden you find yourself with an empty bag and go into the convenience store to buy another or buy some chocolate or whatever it may be, right? Whatever you crave, whatever you're into, whatever that is. I think that's a great, great quote, right? One is way too many and a thousand is never enough. So read through those. I think some of them are pretty accurate. You know, you plan to eat a small portion but end up binge eating. Turn to carbohydrates, rich food or sugar when feeling down or upset. I think, you know, we all use those carbohydrates and sugars for our mood, right? If we had a bad day, something switches on in our brain and it's like, well, you know what'll make you feel better? A big old piece of cake, right? And we have that piece of cake and we feel half decent for a while. And then we regret having the cake and we feel even worse because now we shouldn't have eaten the cake and we've had a crappy day and we've got inflammation. All that fun stuff. I think the last one on that, and blame others for your eating habits. If you are one of those people that is like, well, I wouldn't have had it unless, you know, Kim brought it home and Kim brought it home, so I had to eat it. And there's nothing I can do about that, right? Or it was in the cupboard and I had to eat it. At the end of the day, we make the choices of what we put in our body, right? Nobody, I hope, nobody's force feeding us. If you are, talk to us at the end of class. We'll deal with that situation. That's a little different. But just taking responsibility for it, right? And like Kim said, nobody's ever going to be perfect. There are going to be times where you do feel crappy and you eat something that you shouldn't. And it's about putting it to one side and moving on, right? Not falling off the bandwagon entirely. You know, and just feeling gluttony and guilty. But carbohydrates and sugars are highly addictive, right? From everything that we've read, from everything we understand, they are highly, highly addictive. They did a study, I think this was in Gary Taub's The Case Against Sugar, where they got lab rats addicted to cocaine. And then added sugar to their diet and then gave them the choice between cocaine and sugar, and lab rats choose sugar over cocaine. Okay, so if you want to test that out yourself, yeah, Pepsi challenge, yeah. But, you know, like I said, if you have that feeling before you eat carbohydrates or sugar that I know I shouldn't do this, but I am going to do it anyway, that is when you start talking about things like addiction. And I know addiction's like a crazy word, right? That's for alcoholics and drug addicts. But food is something that we all have, right? There's another great quote from Paleo with a Purpose by Josh Bunch. And his dad was an alcoholic. And he talks about, you know, a genetic disposition, right? He probably has a genetic disposition to alcoholism, but he's never drank a drop of alcohol in his life. So he cannot be an alcoholic without alcohol, right? Same with sugar, okay? If you don't touch it, you know, you won't become addicted to it. But if you do start touching it and then you can't stop eating it, even though you tell yourself you shouldn't, it's probably an addiction, right? And I am a sugar addict. I will admit that. Hello, yeah. This is the main reason I called you here, guys. I need help.
But I think a big, just accepting that, admitting we're sugar addicts, which I am too, doesn't.
It's Kim's fault.
I bring everything home. Doesn't mean I'm like a bad person. Like, it's moving. It's making sure that whatever our nutrition goals are, fitness goals, and it doesn't have to be, I want to weigh this amount in 6 months. I mean, it's, we're trying to better our quality of life. It's just the simple thing of acknowledging and like taking responsibility of we choose to eat these things more often than we should, and moving from there. Like, no one's going to be perfect, but unless we accept like, hey, I do these things a little too often, we're never going to be able to improve upon that if we don't acknowledge that we are the reason that we have that issue. It's no one else's fault but our own. Yeah.
Foods.
Yeah. That's crazy. I think that we do that.
Yeah. And I mean, I know.
It's definitely our choice.
Yeah.
It is just a cultural thing.
Very cultural. With Reagan and now Elliot taking them to the doctor, they give you percentages of where your children fall on, like, the height, weight, and all that stuff. Like, it's sad when you hear that, you know, Reagan's a healthy weight, but she's in, like, the 30th percentile. I'm like, how? What are they basing this on? They're basing it on the other kids her age, gender and age. So, I mean, the problem is the numbers are going up for everybody, not just what's considered healthy in our eyes.
Yeah, I thought that, I heard something the other day, it was crazy. It was saying this generation, or not the millennials, the generation before that, is the last age of humans that will continue to push the age, the death age limit, if that makes sense. Every other generation after this is coming down, okay? Huh. Which is scary, if we carry on the same trends that we carry on, right? I don't know exactly what the average mortality rate is, but it is definitely on a downward trend.
It did drop last year.
Yeah.
From where it used to be, which is a scary, scary thing.
Wow.
In America.
That's scary.
And nothing else matters, guys. Just kidding.
Is it better to say, okay, I'm allowed to, if we're a sugar addict, if you say, okay, if I can be good all week and Saturday, I'm allowed to have something that's bad, and you just have that one bad thing, and then you jump right back on the wagon, is that better?
I mean, everyone's going to react differently to that. I mean, there's a mental challenge for everybody when it comes to food choices. The problem, I think, with planning out, like, hey, I'm going to do this, and I know I'm going to have this day. The problem with that is that acceptance of, like, I'm purposely choosing to have this treat, sugar, whatever, and I'll know I'll be better tomorrow. The problem is that is the unknown, just like in here. You don't know what your day is going to be like. You don't know. Life's going to happen. What if there's a situation where, whether it be a convenience or an emotional situation, and it can spiral into something else? So there's no perfect answer for your question. What I would do is consciously think about everything that you're going to eat for the day, because planning out your day to day is great. But budgeting a space in for that all the time is only setting yourself up for adding in more.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there's two sides that you can look at that from. The one is, I know people that will say every Saturday or every 3 months, I'm going to eat terribly, right? And maybe that works for them. The other side to that, and I've talked about to a lot of people about this, when you're talking about addiction, you know, if you're talking about an alcoholic can't do that, right? They can't go 30 days and then you're like, good job for going 30 days. Here's a bottle of tequila. Like, have at it, right? Because they're addicted to it. And if they drink it, they need more of it. So the same applies with sugar, right? Or carbohydrates. If we are addicted to them, chances are when we have it, we're going to crave more of it. The addiction is not going to subside. We're going to carry on, right? Now, if you are one of those people that feels the need to do that, I'm not going to tell you either way. I just thought that was a really interesting way to look at it. If you are addicted to heroin, you are not going to get a heroin shot or whatever it is every 30 days just to kind of keep you on track, right? That's my 2 cents on that. One of the big things about carbohydrates and sugar is that Paleolithic man did not have unlimited access to these things, right? The birth of the convenience store. And unfortunately, that did happen here in America, right? The birth of the convenience store was the start of this downward trend in access to carbohydrates and then downward trend in health, right? If you look at when in the 60s and 70s, convenience stores started popping up and people could go to CVS at midnight and get the candy bar or get whatever they need, the Pepsi, the pint of ice cream, Kim. You notice a downward trend in health from that point on, right? I don't know where that's coming from. From everything that I've read, it takes about 10,000 years for any adaptations, right? And since Paleolithic man, it's not like we all of a sudden get used to this, right? So Our body is not set up to take on all these carbohydrates and sugars. We just have not genetically adapted to those things because we haven't been around long enough for that to happen. So that is why we still see all these issues when we eat them, the inflammation, the chronic diseases, and things like that. Anyone got anything to say about that?
Do you want to address Alex Stevia question now or later?
Yes. When we're talking about Stevia or, again, that sugar-free book is great, and I've got it in the office if anyone wants to borrow it. There is an entire page where it basically lists everything that sugar can be called, right? So we're going to talk about advertising and food labeling in a second. But what a lot of these companies are doing is instead of saying it is sugar, it could be sucralose or fructose or, you know, high fructose corn syrup or whatever it may be, stevia. And a lot of these companies are using these as, you know, sugar-free moniker, Coke Zero.
I'm good.
I know. Monica has been Coke Zero free for...
3 weeks Wednesday.
3 weeks on Wednesday. Clean and sober. I had to pull you in with me. If I'm addicted, you're addicted. but, you know, when you get into things like that, a lot of it is advertising, right? It's sugar-free or all-natural sweetener, and it's, you know, stevia. First thing I will say about that is the body can't tell the difference, right? If it is sweet, your body takes it in. It releases insulin. Okay, the same exact thing happens if you have stevia as if you have raw unrefined sugar. Okay, your body cannot tell a single difference between that. So it doesn't matter if you say you've not had sugar for 15 years, if you've been having stevia 7 times a day, you'll probably end up with type 2 diabetes. Okay, so I think from that aspect, I don't think there's a better or a worse choice in general. I think you just got to manage the amount that you have and be careful of food labeling, you know.
Well, because you see, like, CrossFit games, athletes, like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, Zevia and stuff, and they just have, like, stevia, like, from the plants.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff,
yeah.
It's kind of surprising, but, like, you know...
Yeah.
So, and you feel free to, like, disagree with me. when you have something like... LaCroix or Zevia, which is basically an alternative to sodas. It's zero calorie, zero carbohydrates. And then Zevia, for example, is that stevia added back in. So when you're counting your macros, you aren't hitting any of your carbs for that serving. So you can hit your macro numbers, getting everything you need protein, carb, fat-wise, and having Zevia all day, every day, if you want it, and you still hit your macros. So a lot of games level athletes, that's a lot of the kind of premise of what they're following. They're watching what they eat, they're counting their macros, making sure they're getting enough. But what's not talked about is the internal process of what goes on in the body when it handles glucose levels and insulin. So stevia, yes, is still a sugar replacement. But when you see like it being promoted in that regard, a lot of it comes down to, you know, it has 0 grams of carbohydrates in it. Does that make sense?
I agree with that. I think there's two things.
It's still creating an insulin response.
Correct.
Yeah, there's two things with that, right? First of all, never watch what a games athlete does and follow it. Second of all, they're getting paid for that, right? They are receiving money for it, which to some degree I disagree with. It's like, what's his name? The head football coach at UT. Yeah, you see those big billboards of him drinking a Coke, and it's like, awesome, you're a head football coach, and you're promoting sugar. Good for you. But I'm sure he's getting a lot of money to do so. Talking about games, athletes, you know, you can watch the Froning documentary where he's eating pizza and cereal before he goes out and wins the CrossFit Games. There are a couple of things with that. First of all, it's like the Michael Phelps diet, right? Everyone went crazy when they saw that he was eating 7,000 calories a day and he was eating pizza and stuff. It's not a healthy lifestyle, but they can somewhat get away with it because they are using so much energy every day to train, right? I've said this numerous times, being a CrossFit Games athlete is not healthy, right? This is why there's been a switch from CrossFit, from we're going to give all this money to the CrossFit Games, but we want to be in the health space, right? CrossFit Games athletes are pounding themselves down. We are basically, what we're doing with Games athletes is we are testing the physical limits of humanity with that, right? How much can we push these guys? And they, you know, who knows where they'll be in 10, 15 years? We really don't know the answer to that. But that is totally different from what we're trying to do on this side of the room, right? You know, so don't always look and be like, well, CrossFit Games athletes are taking whatever it is, Zevia or LaCroix. It must be good for you. I can drink 7 cans a day, right? It may not be. Everyone cool with that? Questions about it? Sweet.
Is that all sugar stuff?
I was just going to talk real quick about the glycemic index.
Okay.
Unless you want to talk about glycemic index. Okay. Everyone know what the glycemic index is? Everyone heard of it?
Just kind of like generally, like it tells you how much carbs you're eating or what's in.
Can I get the whiteboard out?
Sure.
How about it?
Yeah, so while Kim gets a whiteboard out and draws a pretty little diagram, the high glycemic index is a food's propensity to increase blood sugar, right? So if you see something and it is high carbohydrates, or it tells you the glycemic reading, the higher that glycemic reading is, the more it is going to spike the blood glucose levels, the more it is going to spike your insulin, right? Your body has to find that sweet spot. And Kim's going to do a nice pretty little diagram to show you exactly what high glycemic things like breads. It's not on food labels, but if you know, and on this, did I put them on this? No.
There's certain foods like whole foods that have like low GI like on the corner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like Ezekiel bread would tell, Ezekiel bread tells you, but anything that is processed, right? So pastas, wheats, grains, cereals, what am I missing? Sugary foods are all going to be high on that glycemic index in general. If you look at the back of a pack of rice, right? Again, it's a processed food because it's in a package. It is going to tell you that there are, I think those Uncle Ben's ones have like, what is it? 43 grams per serving, and there's 2 servings per bag, so 86 grams of carbohydrates per bag, right? Which is pretty high, right? That is going to be a high glycemic carbohydrate. Okay, come on, Kim, I'm stalling.
It's not pretty.
So it's like a kind of like macros isn't enough to look at. You can have a same. You can have 43 grams of bread.
Hold on, let me write one more thing.
43 grams of carbohydrates
of
kale, but one of them's gonna spike your blood sugar more than the other.
Yes. And if you have 43 grams of rice.
You can have a pouch.
If you have 43 grams of rice,
yeah,
and put that on a plate next to 43 grams of kale, you'll probably need about 6 plates to fill 43 grams
broccoli?
Of kale.
I couldn't think of it.
Is broccoli spelled
43 zero? Grams of kale would be, yeah, probably close to 6 plates worth.
Is that one okay to do?
Sure.
It's not pretty. Oh, am I talking? Okay. So glycemic index, if you guys want to look into it a little bit more, in simple layman's terms, it is how your body, when it consumes something, the glucose level that reacts to that during the digestive process, and then insulin being released to control your glucose levels. So if you guys know anyone that's diabetic, that's basically that's the problem that they have. So type 2 diabetes, which is caused by lifestyle choices, is where they've eaten a poor diet over time that the insulin their body's producing is not able to control the glucose levels that are in the body anymore. So they have to add in, give themselves insulin.
Well, it's actually an overproduction of insulin.
Right, but it's not controlling the glucose levels.
Right. But,
Granddad.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. The difference between type 1 and type 2 is type 1 is from birth, right? It is a mutation.
Basically a lack of insulin.
And it is that the body doesn't produce enough. Type 2 means that you have increased your blood glucose levels to a point where your body has kept increasing its insulin levels until a point where it cannot produce enough.
Yes.
Yeah, it has hit the limits. So then you have to add more insulin to your system.
Sorry. So this diagram, if you can see, it's really, really simple. Glucose level is the vertical column over there on the far left. So if we take a slice of bread, I didn't describe it enough. Pure glucose. The glycemic index gives a score based on the body's reaction to a certain food item compared to pure glucose. So if we just eat, if we were to consume pure glucose, that's where we're graphing a 0 to 100, basically. So you see slice of bread is that first one on there. One slice of white bread is super high on the glycemic index. So the body's reaction, it releases, or our blood glucose shoots sky high. Insulin has to be released in order to control that glucose. Good job. And then you see it drop off really, really quickly. That means you're not going to be satisfied and you're going to be hungry again in a very, very short time frame if you have one piece of white bread or anything high on the glycemic index. If you take something like broccoli that's low on the glycemic index, their blood glucose does not stay as high, less insulin's released in the body, and you stay fuller a lot longer. So if we talk about like whole foods, and items that aren't processed, those are going to be everything that's lower on the glycemic index. Does that make sense? We read or podcast, I don't remember what it was, orange juice is higher on the glycemic index than what?
Coca-Cola.
So when we talked about sugar earlier, your body does not differentiate between where the sugar came from. So something like orange juice that is supposed to be a healthy alternative does truly have a higher reaction in your body with the blood glucose does than something like Coca-Cola.
Yeah, it's a big thing for society. For the longest time, I mean, I was raised by kind of like garbage food. I was born in Alabama. My mom fried everything. Like, she's better now, but it just took me forever to get past stuff like that, to find out. Oh, the whole time I thought orange juice was just amazing. Like, it's fruit, you know?
Yeah. Sunny Delight.
I used to live on Sunny Delight when I was
there. Yeah, and even just recently, I got some peanut butter. I love peanut butter. I've had peanut butter. Always thought it was healthy, and then I read something about it. No, wait a minute. That peanut butter, like, whatever. It's loaded with all the sugar.
Okay. Yeah. 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 And with stuff like peanut butter, you know, you can get better and worse options, obviously, right?
Yeah.
You know, generally the stuff that you see with the fat that's separated on top, that's going to be your good stuff. Your more raw, pure, good stuff. Yeah. You have to refrigerate things that are natural, right? Does that make sense? Glycemic index?
And you don't know what item you want to buy, just pull out your phone and you can look up the glycemic index and search for a food item. It's not on the food label, like
yeah. I did that at, what is it called? Balta Beer Works the other week. Me and Kim went out to eat and I got the chicken something and it had farro. Is it farro? And I had no idea about farro. So I looked it up before I ordered it, and it is a low glycemic. Now it's on the higher end of the lower end, but it is a lower on the glycemic index. So definitely, like Kim said, we all have our phones on us, right? And we can all look it up. Or text me, and I'll send you a let me Google that for you and send you it back.
Yeah,
it's exactly that. It's that spike, insulin spike. Yeah. Yes. No.
It's not necessarily great for you.
It's not in levels, right? Levels that promote exercise, not body fat, right? That's what we're saying. So if you sit there and eat a full tub, probably not.
Are you eating every day?
I would check what peanut butter. Have you checked? Okay.
Well, you know what? So can we talk about peanuts real quick?
Well, I mean, first thing, you can get better peanut butter than worse. Almond butter is better. I presume what Kim was going to say is peanuts aren't actually a nut, right? They're a legume. They're not part of the nut family because they do not come in a shell. You can get ones that are all natural. And like I was saying to Greg, the ones that have separated the fat is at the top, right? You see that nice juicy bit of fat and then the peanut butter, and you have to whisk it to get it back. That's the good stuff, right? The stuff that's not sugar laden, and like Greg said, it has to go in the fridge, right? If you can put some, and we'll talk about this a little bit, if you can put it in your cupboards, generally it's been processed to a point, right? If it doesn't have a sell by date that's within the net, or a use by date that's within the next few weeks, it's been processed somehow, right? Yeah, but I would check. I have never even heard of that. I like how they call it PB Fit.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say to be cautious of is, again, I think that's more to do with a storage life. So I have a feeling, and I don't know much about it either, but I have a feeling it comes in that form, so it can be shelved longer. So I would check the ingredients and food.
I mean, there are certain things, you know, like protein.
Preservatives, like he mentioned earlier, when we're doing anything to preserve something to have a longer life, that's sugar. There's some sort of sugar added in to make it last longer. Yeah, I have to look at it.
And I will say the main goal. One of the main goals today is to obviously pass some of this information along, but not overwhelm people, right? We definitely don't want people leaving here like, my life is ruined, I can never eat peanut butter again. sorry, Deepika. We'll take one fatality. just check it. Honestly, you can get, and if you go to somewhere like Three Rivers, they have their machine, and it's pretty cool, right? Because you put the thing under and you pull the handle and it makes the peanut butter. And it's literally, you watch the almonds come through into ground almond butter.
And that's close to you.
Yeah.
Have you been to Three Rivers before?
No.
It's just up Central Avenue in Old North Knox area.
Yeah.
You know the food truck park?
I've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
We're going to have to have a separate day on food truck.
So again, that is a really good segue into the next one, which is food labels that we're going to talk about, and advertising. Okay. We're at 47 minutes right now. Is everyone good for time? Good. We'll be here another couple of hours. One thing I will say about food labels and ingredients, check them, first of all. If you do not understand it or you cannot pronounce it, why the hell are you putting it in your body, right? You go to the gas station and you buy some, you know, windshield wiper fluid, and you look at it and you're like, is this good stuff? What's in it? But then you go ahead and drink like Coca-Cola, which has crazy things in it, right? It unclogs your drains. That's what baffles me, right? You put something, and I used to drink Coke too. I can't say I didn't, but we're putting something in our body that can unclog a drain. It's a scary thought. So definitely check it. Like I said, if it has some weird stuff, some long names, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but they're essentially chemicals that have been put in there, right? Probably as preservatives or flavor additives or something. Like we just said, try and avoid packaged foods with long shelf lives, right? If it has a long shelf life, it has been processed to a point to allow that to happen. Again, I saw an article one time that talked about those Twinkies or whatever they are, and some of them, this was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and they had a shelf life of like 2025, and it's like, how can anything, you know, sit there for that long and still be edible and good to eat? Someone we used to work out with actually posted that their PT has a Happy Meal in the reception area of their where they work, and it's been sat there open, and it had been there 6 months, and it looks exactly like it did the day that they bought it, right? Nothing has happened to it. It has not gone moldy. It's just sat there, right? Because it has been processed to a point where nothing's ever going to happen to it, okay? Embalmed food. Eat embalmed food, guys. And here's where labels move into advertising. When we talk about low fat, right, what we mean by low fat is that low fat or fat free means that they have added something, right? What they have added is sugar, okay? If you take the fat out of something, you get rid of all the flavor, you've got to do something to add the flavor back. And what they do is they add sugar, okay? If you look at yogurt, fat free yogurt, look at how much sugar is in fat free yogurt and change your ways. If you eat yogurt, eat better yogurt. Okay. Zero sugar. We talked about this earlier. Coke Zero, things like that. Like I said, your body reacts no differently, right? So if you drink or drank Coke Zero, you might as well have been drinking the real stuff, okay? Because it doesn't make any difference. Be careful of all natural, right? This is where we get into back to the meats and vegetables, right? What does all natural mean? Does anyone know what all natural means?
Everything is all natural.
Right. There you go. I don't know. You know, all natural is a very loose term. It isn't an advertising term, right? You know, all natural preservatives, okay? Sugar is an all natural preservative. You know, so be cautious of that. All natural chicken, well, of course, it's a chicken. It's natural, right? Yeah, one of those rubber chickens. You know, like I said, it is definitely a way for a company to put big on their package or whatever it is. All natural and, you know, unfortunately, huh? Yeah, people associate natural. You know, it's like I was saying, about global warming and climate change. They found that global warming scared people too much, so they changed it to climate change, you know? Same with all natural. It's a way for companies to get you to buy this stuff. Organic is also kind of a rough term, especially with things like eggs, right? Organic, by the USDA.com definition, which I looked up, says, overall, organic operations must demonstrate that they are protecting natural resources, conserving biodiversity, and using only approved substances. Okay? Does not tell you what those approved substances are, but they must be approved. Which is, I mean,
loose.
It's a very loose term, right?
It's USDA.
Protecting natural resources, conserving biodiversity. You know, the organic eggs does not mean that they were pasture raised and these chickens were nice and happy on a regular diet. It means literally that they used only approved substances on these chickens.
Like a chemical.
Yeah. And again, like I said, all definitely advertising things, be very cautious. Like I said, if you go to the farmer's market, you will get fresh eggs. If you've never had fresh eggs, not the 48 eggs from Walmart. Sorry. I have to tell people. Megan asked me one day, she wanted eggs. No, I know. You knew it wasn't good. Megan asked for eggs one day, and a boyfriend came home with like 48 eggs from Walmart for like $1.60 or something. And it's like, I'm not even going to work out how much that is per egg, but you can imagine the quality that those chickens, the life of those chickens had. There's a lot of eggs, right? Yeah. But yeah, try and find the source of where your food comes from. I think that is the overall goal with food labeling and advertising. You know, next thing we talk about is kind of shopping around the perimeter, right? Have we all heard that? Like, shop the perimeter of your grocery store, not down the aisles. In general, if it doesn't have to be refrigerated, it's been processed to some degree. Besides the coffee, go down the coffee aisle. It's all good. but, you know, just be more aware, and I think that's a big thing. As me and Kim, you know, learned more and more about this, it's becoming aware of these things. And me and Lisa had a conversation yesterday, and, you know, as you progress through these things, you know, you'll be eating something, and you'll be thinking it's fine, like peanut butter, right? You'll be like, man, this is good, I'm healthy, I'm doing all this good stuff. And then all of a sudden, your world comes crashing down, and you're like, I thought I was being good all this time, and I'm not, you know? And that's part of the journey, right? That's trying to figure these things out. But trying to source where our food comes from, trying to make it, you know, buy stuff on Sunday and Wednesdays, and it should literally only last that amount of time, right? Cook it, use it, freeze it if you need to. But if you're buying stuff for 3 months from now, unless you're freezing it, it's probably something that's been processed, okay? And I think I said this at the start, food should be the ingredient, not have ingredients, right? I think that's a good one. Pollum, what's his first name? Michael. Michael Pollum has a good one. He said food should be made of plants, not made in a plant, okay? I think that's a good one, too. You got anything to add?
No, are you almost done?
Yeah.
I don't know, Jordan, if you want to share anything, but Jordan went to their level one this past weekend, and they do a nutrition talk during that. Like, is there anything that you heard there, or?
Dang, she put you on the spot.
Yeah.
They also talked about just bad diets and different aspects of keto that were good and that were maybe not so good about eating a block of cheese every day. Like pepperonis for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dare.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times when you paleo and things like that, you cut out dairy. And so, in a lot of diets, you cut out dairy. But then with keto, it's the majority of it is dairy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think dairy affects everybody differently, and I think a lot of people don't realize if they have an intolerance or somewhat of an intolerance to it, because it's in a lot of things, and a lot of times we don't even think about eating it. I think the Whole 30 is good for figuring out if you have those, because you cut dairy out, and you cut a lot of things out, and then you add it back. No, you go. Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of it is personal tolerance to it. You know, and as we continue doing these, we do want to talk about, you know, zone diet. This is something that, you know, we do as a nutrition plan, and keto, and talk about all these different things. But again, you've got to be careful with, you know, making better choices. But I told some people this the other day, when I took Reagan to the airport to pick my parents up, she was screaming for some milk on the way there. And so I was like, okay, we'll get you some milk when we get to the airport. So I go into the shop at the airport, and I pick up this 2%. It's all they had. And I looked on the back of the nutrition label, and that, it wasn't even a pint of milk. It has 18 grams of sugar. And it's not added sugar, but it's sugar. You know, and one thing, as I, after making some, you know, Christmas time, like Greg said, or holiday time where you make some bad choices, I realized I had to, you know, clean up my diet. And I cut out a lot of, you know, the rices that I've been eating and things like that. And I started drinking way more milk, not even thinking about it. And then started reading this sugar-free book, and it was basically saying, you know, the lactose that is in milk, there is a lot of it, right? So if you're taking sugar out from one area, you got to be careful that you're not adding it back in a different area, I think. But
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And I think I've said this to a lot of people too. We're the only species that eats or consumes someone else's, another species' milk or dairy, right? No other species on Earth does that.
And that's what I was going to say. My personal opinion is that regardless of what you believe when it comes to the purpose, what our purpose is, animals were put here for consumption. I personally believe it was a man-made decision to start processing foods output for human consumption, if that makes sense. So we can eat animal meat and pick grown fruits and vegetables, but I think when it comes to dairy, I personally believe that was a choice that as we evolved was made. So to some degree it was like the first processed food that was created. Again, this is my personal belief. This is not fact by any means. So, thank you. So, I think it's something that's developed over time that we, as humans, have developed a tolerance for it, where we really maybe, that it shouldn't be something that our body can tolerate. It's just become more immune to it over time. The best way, like you said, if you've already mentioned it, is cut it out completely and then slowly add it back in and see how your body reacts to it. If you've been in the bathroom for an hour, then you know that it may not be the best thing to consume.
Yeah.
Yes. When you cut off of dairy or when you're on?
No.
Yes.
Keto is dairy heavy because it's fat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you try for fat sources, replacing, to consume fat, nuts and seeds, stuff like avocados, as opposed to eating more cheese, other than dairy? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's other fat options out there.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think that kind of goes back to, everybody's trying these different diets, different ways. If you look at, hashtag on Instagram, somebody's making, a biscuit that's all fat, and bacon and cheese on it, and that's their breakfast. Somebody else doing keto, because you have a huge fat, avocados, a ton of olive oil on it.
Right. Yeah, let's clear this up, right? When we talk about CrossFit Prescription and paleo, if you have to put paleo in front of it, it is not paleo, right? So if you see paleo chocolate cake, it is not paleo, right? They have put paleo in front of it. If you have to define it by the name paleo, it's probably not paleo, right? There are some, they have, done some different stuff with, almond flour or stuff like that, but realistically, it's still... still the same thing.
And that's a marketing scam, putting it in front of it. You see labels that say, get lean or whatever. Lean cuisine. I mean, that's just a scam.
What was the ice cream? Not the Halo Top. It was called, something fit.
There's, Skinny Girl.
Skinny Girl.
Like
yeah. Yeah.
Skinny Cow.
Skinny Cow, yeah.
I mean, that's just trying to get people to buy it.
So, obviously, it's good for you, right? It's called Skinny Cow, It must be. Yeah.
I mean, one thing that I would say is just start looking at your food labels. If you don't already, every time you're in the store, turn it around, look at the ingredients. The order the ingredients come in is the quantity that you see. And then look at the nutritional value. Is there a sugar in it? How high are the carbohydrates? But then always pay attention to per serving. I mean, if you're...
Yeah, that's
a
big thing.
1 gram of sugar, but it's 20 servings in a jar this big, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right then, because going back to Joe with his yogurts earlier.
Yeah.
On the yogurts it says 8 grams of sugar, 100 grams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
300 grams. But there's 150 grams in
there. Yeah.
So there's half as much again.
So
1 minute.
Yeah, don't overcomplicate it, especially if you're making baby steps to get your nutrition better.
Are you gonna say if you're making babies?
but read your label. Yeah, start getting in the habit of turning everything in the house and reading the label.
Said no.
Peter.
Yeah. What for reference?
In a minute,
what is?
Okay.
For those
of us that don't
think in
grams.
Yeah.
What is a high or low amount of grams for each of these items?
Two
got the scale.
That is a very difficult question to answer based on serving size and based on what food you're talking about.
Right.
When it comes to like carbs, for example, is that one of the ones you're kind of thinking about?
Probably.
Weighing and measuring your food is really the only way, and tracking it is really the only way to know what you're eating, how much of it you're eating, and how it affects meeting your macros. I know for me personally, to meet my daily goal, it's going to come out to around 30 to 35 grams of carbohydrates per meal. So, right, if I'm doing three meals. So kind of knowing what your macros need to be is going to affect per serving what you're going to be buying and consuming. What I do, Peter, and this may be an easy answer to your question, take pasta sauce. Joe and I like to have like ground beef over zucchini noodles or something like that, but we'll still add some sauce to it. Go into your spaghetti sauce aisle, pick up every label and read it. There will be one Prego or what, I'm not going to say ones or something. You'll turn one around and it will be 20 grams of sugar and whatever grams of carbohydrates. And you'll pick up another one and it will be 4 grams of sugar. So turn all the labels around. I mean, we spent 20 minutes in the juice aisle for her one day trying to figure out what was the best thing to buy by comparing every single label.
And I think that, are you done answering that question?
Yeah, but I know that's not an exact answer to your question because it's going to differ based on the individual. But if you're going to have something, compare 5 or 6 different brands on that aisle and pick the one that has a lower quantity of sugar and carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the last thing I'll say on that, and then if anyone has anything else, they've just started doing this added sugar, right? Everyone's seen that on the food labels now. They've started adding how much added sugar it is. And that's good to a degree, but I actually read in Paleo magazine that I bought, the guy was saying, you know, don't just look at the added sugar, look at how much actual overall sugar is in it too, right? Because if it's, you know, you look at the added sugar and it says, 4 grams of added sugar, but, you know, there is already 15 grams of sugar in there, or, you know, vice versa, if it says 0 grams added sugar, but it's still 25 grams of sugar, you'll be better off buying something that has a little bit of added sugar, but not as much sugar overall, right? So that's kind of a tricky one. Again, a little bit of advertising with that. Yes, Peter.
How about we make a group, like Excel doc, where someone can put tomato sauce and put the brand, and because it's hard to, not everyone wants to spend 20 minutes, so if you've already spent the 20 minutes, you've already spent the 20 minutes.
This is like Judy's grip issue. She had Elizabeth test out all these grips, and then she was like, I'm just going to buy the ones that she recommends. I like it. Okay, so it sounds like you need to make this Excel spreadsheet.
By the time I go back, I forget which one that we bought too.
Okay.
So
you just want to give us all your email
address? Well, I'd say that would be a good group thing where someone can say, here's the brand I found.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you do that on like Facebook or something?
Around the other side.
Okay. Cool. Anyone have any questions, comments?
Well, one thing I'm taking from this, Joe, is that we're not bringing any confectionery from England anymore.
Yeah, I know. We definitely want to know, like I said, we want to do this once a month, probably around this time. But we definitely want to know what you guys want to hear about, right? If you guys want to know more about certain things, other things. And hopefully you're all aware, but we do the nutrition stuff. We're trying to kind of revamp that a little bit. Give a little bit more accountability to it.
What do you mean by doing the nutrition stuff?
Like the nutrition plan program. Sorry.
Yeah, so we can come up to you and...
Yeah. We can give you the macros, whatever it is. Hold you accountable for that. Definitely let us know if there's anything you want to talk about, right, in these workshops. We'll be happy to do that. Any last Who wants to make the last comment of the day?
I
Patty. Mm-hmm.
And you can go to a lot of other gyms. They'll happily have you working out for 15 minutes every day, 30 minutes a day, and nothing really changes because they're not really spending time to talk to you about what you're putting your body every day.
Yeah.
So getting, it's a lot at first. It's overwhelming, and you start questioning everything you've ever done in your entire life. You start questioning what your parents have been feeding you your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know better, you do better.
And it's a journey.
It is.
Our parents also went with the best information that they had. They were feeding us fruits and vegetables.
My mom knew better than five.
That sounds delicious. I'm just kidding.
But in fairness to our parents, they were being bad information.
There's always two sides of information out there. They were taking the generally accepted information, which is what most of us did, right? Most of us accepted that when the government told us that we should eat this food plate of high carbohydrates, wheats and grains, that we should do that, right? I'm going to end with this. Don't trust your government, guys. Don't trust your government. No, I'm just kidding. That's what I wanted to get onto. We're now going to talk politics, okay? I'm just kidding. Well, thank you guys for coming. I really appreciate it. Thank you.